We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope that this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, Pastor Todd McIntyre shares a message titled, Walking in the Light. Let's listen in as he talks about how we should confess our sins instead of keeping them hidden.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Men's Summit podcast. I'm so excited you're here with us. I hope you had a chance to listen to our Men's Summit messages from Men's Summit 2019, from Pastor Robert Morris, from Jensen Franklin, from Michael Todd, Jeremy Foster, and myself. It was an incredible Men's Summit. I know a lot of you guys came, but for you guys that didn't get to come, I hope you go back and listen to those because it will impact your life. You know, guys, I've been pastoring men for many years now here at Gateway, and I've worked with a lot of guys with all kinds of issues. And what I've found from all of these guys is that most of these issues have a few things in common. And today I want to talk about one of the things that I see all the time when I deal with men to help you kind of think about why you're struggling with the things that you're struggling with. You know, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And in John 14, 27, Jesus makes this statement. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." But the reality is, as I deal with guys, and even sometimes myself, I'm not always walking in peace. I don't always have the Prince of Peace in my life. I don't always feel the Prince of Peace. I don't always feel like I'm walking with the Prince of Peace because there's things going on in my life or things going in other guys' lives that I see that we're just not walking in peace. And today I want to talk about one of the reasons why most of us don't walk in peace. Because there's a deception I think most of us have thought about for many years that the enemy's tricked us on. And here's the deception. What others don't know won't hurt them. I'm going to say that again. The deception is we think that what others don't know won't hurt them. But here's the reality. What others don't know may have hurt them and is hurting you. When we are hiding things in our lives, it causes us to put up spiritual walls between us and other people. I was dealing with a guy a few years ago who was a great guy in our church, man of God, love him, love his family. He has it all together. He's in shape, just a good guy. And we've been meeting for weeks. And I've been trying to help him to find some blind spots that maybe he wasn't thinking about because his problem was that his marriage was just jacked up and his kids were struggling. And he didn't know why. He felt like he was doing all the things that God had told him to do, but he was having results that weren't godly. And so we started talking and meeting, and we went on for quite a long time until finally one day he came in my office and said, "I have some things I need to expose." And he shared some things that he had been hiding for many, many years that he finally got out. And here's what's interesting. Right after he shared those, he put himself in a position to get healed. And it was not too long after that that his marriage started getting back in order and he started having a relationship with his kids. Here's what 1 John 1, 5 through 10 says. I want to read this to you because it's really interesting. It talks about whether we're willing to expose our sins or hide our sins. And John, a disciple of Jesus, says this and he talks about this issue with us in 1 John 1, 5 through 10. I'm going to read it to you. It says, "This is the message we'd heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us." You know, one of the things that I've worked hard on in my marriage because I learned at an early age that if I don't expose my sin to my wife, if I don't expose my heart and what's really going on in my heart, there's always seems to be a barrier between me and her. But it's not just me and her, it's people at work, it's my kids. When I have unconfessed sin in my life and I'm dealing with something and I'm not sharing it, guys, I walk around with guilt. I walk around with shame. And really what I'm walking around with is like a barrier around me that says, "I don't want to have a relationship with you." John says this in here. When we walk in the light as he is in the light, we can have fellowship with one another. Well, the opposite is true. When you don't walk in the light, you can't have fellowship with God and with one another. Now, I think it's interesting. He uses two words, and I just want to explain these two words because some people get these words mixed up. Some people think darkness means you're sinning and light means you're not sinning, but that's not what this is saying at all. Darkness means you have unconfessed sin and you're hiding it. Light means you have confessed your sin to one another and you're not hiding it anymore. A lot like Adam. Remember when Adam sinned? He and Eve, they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And right after that, the Bible says they saw that they were naked, they were shamed, they were guilty, and they went and separated themselves from one another and they hid from God. And then they clothed themselves with leaves, which won't last very long. They just weren't making good decisions. It was like that sin caused them to make bad decisions, caused them to separate from one another, and caused them to separate themselves from God. And then God shows up, and God comes in on the scene and says, who told you you were naked? What's going on here? And really, what God knew what they had done, and God was saying, I need you to expose your sin, and I'll cover you. And here's what God does. Right after they expose their sin and he deals with the consequences of their sin, he then covers them with real leather that will last for a long time. He covers them with the blood of an animal. God knows how to cover us. But when we hide our sin, we're out there on our own, doing things on our own, and things can't get done well. Now, here's the reality, guys. Unconfessed sin will always kill relationship. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Unconfessed sin always kills relationships. I can tell you, when I've dealt with guys over and over and over, this is the first thing I go to now. What do you have in your life that you're not confessing? When they're dealing with marriage issues, when they're dealing with financial issues, when they're dealing with kids issues, whatever issue you're dealing with, I always start with, guys, what is it that you're hiding? What is it that you think you're going to take to your grave and no one's going to find out? And I've dealt with many men who have said, there's no way I can share that. There's no way I will share that. And the truth is, they get to make that choice. As long as they want to have that sin in their lives and that unconfessed sin in their lives, they're always going to walk isolated and hidden and never get the healing they want to get. But I've seen so many other men who've made the opposite choice, where they did the hard thing. They wouldn't confess to their wives. They wouldn't confess to their kids. They wouldn't confess to their bosses. They confessed to the government. Whatever they had to do, they confessed their sin. And once they did that, of course there were consequences. It's not easy. It's not easy. But once they did that, they were able to start getting healing and the relationship started to get whole. Here's what you got to realize, guys. All of us have to deal with this issue. It's not that you are the big bad sinner, but I'm not the big bad sinner. I'm the religious guy that goes around and never does anything wrong. It's a lie. The Bible says all of us have fallen short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. All of us have fallen short. And 1 John says, if we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. We have all sinned. We have all had times in our lives where we've had to confess our sins. And if we haven't done that, I'm telling you right now, it is stopping you from getting the freedom in your marriage, with your kids, at work that you really desperately want. And you're crying out to God to help you. And God's going, I will help you. I'll bring you peace if you do what I ask you to do. There's a great story where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus comes to him at night in darkness, which I think is interesting because we're talking about darkness, we're talking about light. Nicodemus asks Jesus, you know, what does it mean to be a righteous man? And Jesus talks to him about being born again. And he goes through this whole dialogue with Nicodemus about being born again. And Nicodemus says, how can I go back in my mother's womb? And he says, you know, why does this surprise you that you must be born again? In fact, let me just read it to you. In John 3, it starts in John 3 and verse 5. I'm going to read you verse 5. It says, Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. And then he goes in verse 7, and he makes this statement to Nicodemus that I think is very interesting. He says, the wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from and where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. And Jesus is making a pretty cool statement. He's saying, as a man, we can't tell when a man really gets saved. I can't tell when you really get saved. I can't tell if you've been saved. You can tell me all day long. You receive Jesus. You go to church. You're a member of a church. All that stuff doesn't matter. If you don't have a true relationship with God and you're not really saved, then what you do doesn't matter. It's who you are that matters. And then Jesus makes a statement about wind. He says, I don't know where the wind starts, but I know the effects of the wind. And really what he's saying is, I know the effects of a Christian. I know the effects of someone that's been born again, because someone that's been born again is no longer hiding their sin. They're exposing their sin, and they're letting God in to help them heal their sin. In verse 19, he's still talking to Nicodemus, and listen to what he says about this subject. He says, the judgment is based on this fact. What does he mean by the judgment? The judgment on whether you've been saved or not. He says, the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come into the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. What is Jesus saying here? If you're a real Christian, I hate to use that word real, because if you're born again, you are real. But if you struggled with sin that you've not confessed, it is stopping you in your growth spiritually and physically with others. It is stopping you with your growth with God. It is stopping you with your growth with your wife. It is stopping you with growth at church. It's causing you to want to be isolated. And you find yourself going, it's not that big of a deal. But what you don't realize is it's killing relationship with everybody in your life. The only way to get out of this, guys, is we got to confess our sins to one another. And when we do that, that's when the healing starts to happen. So let me review. Let me review what we just stated. That when you confess your sins, when you finally get out and you finally get rid of the junk and you finally expose it and you're completely honest, now you're able to go deeper into a relationship with God and one another. You can start the healing process and you can get out of sin once and for all, and you will finally experience God's peace. We went on this retreat a few years ago. I took a bunch of guys and, about 40 guys. And part of the retreat was we were all just going to have a moment during the retreat to confess our sins. And everyone had a choice. You didn't have to do it. We put a chair in the middle and guys went out there. And I would say most of the guys, if not all the guys, confessed all their deepest, darkest secrets. And what was really interesting, when we got on the bus to go out there, there was just a lot of men that were there that were individuals. But we came back on that same bus, coming back from that retreat, everybody was united. Everybody was connected, because something happens when you confess your sin that you finally feel the peace of God, and it releases you from the angst inside you, the shame, the guilt, and you're able to have relationship. But here's what happens when you don't confess your sins. You'll never have true intimacy with others. What do you mean by that? Intimacy, it's not sex, guys. It's relationship. It's true. It's deep relationship. As long as you're hiding stuff in your life, you can't be intimate. When I'm intimate with my wife sexually, I don't have anything. I have no barriers. I have no clothes on. We're completely exposed. She can see all my dirty faults. She can see all my junk in my body. She sees it all. And that's when true intimacy happens. In relationship, if you've got unconfessed sin, you cannot really have intimacy with others. And you'll stay trapped in your sin. And I'm telling you, that sin will entangle you for a long time. Some of you guys are dealing with pornography issues. You're dealing with drug issues. You're dealing with alcohol issues, and you won't expose them. And you're hiding. You're hiding in back rooms somewhere, in your computer, dark at night. And you're hiding in these areas where you shouldn't be. And you need to confess this stuff. If you'll confess this stuff, you're going to find out that your relationships in your life are going to change. But if you don't, you're going to stay trapped. And one of the reasons why most of us men stay trapped is because we will not confess our sins. And the last thing, and I think this is the most important thing, you'll never experience God's peace. You can't. It's not that God doesn't love you. It's not that he doesn't care. It's not that his grace isn't sufficient. It's not that he hasn't already died for you and forgiven you of all your sins. He has. But he says this, the kingdom way to get peace, the way, if you want to live by the kingdom, you're going to have to confess your sins. If you're going to stay hidden, then you're on your own. Just like Adam, you'll be on your own in the middle of the forest somewhere, wishing you could get out of this, wishing you wouldn't have these problems, wishing that your wife would love you again, wishing that your kids would love you, wishing that your job would go better, wishing that your finance would go better. And it's really not that hard. It's not that complicated. I shouldn't say it's not that hard. It is hard. It's just not complicated. God doesn't make things complicated, but they can be hard. Now, let me just say this. I've confessed a lot of my sins to my wife, and it doesn't make her happy. She doesn't run out and she's not joyful and everything's great. There's consequences to it. There was consequences to Adam's sin. He got kicked out of the garden. There was things that happened. I mean, it really wasn't the same. But I'm going to tell you this. It got stronger after we walked through it. When I've confessed to my wife, at that moment, sure, it's hard, but our relationship started growing and we're stronger today than we were 20 years ago, 25 years ago. I know my wife loves me. We're best friends. I know we're growing in a relationship. And I meet a lot of guys 25 years into their marriage. They're not growing in their relationship anymore. And they don't realize it's because they have unconfessed sin. It's not complicated, but it can be hard. So guys, I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you'll be bold. I want to pray that you'll be honest. I want to pray that you'll take this step. I want to pray that you'll confess your sin and recognize, even though it's going to be hard, you're going to start on a journey that's going to bring you peace and freedom, which is exactly what we all desire. So let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every single one of these men, especially those right now that are contemplating whether they should confess their sins to their wives, to their friends, Lord, to those that are around them that they've sinned against. And Lord, I pray, God, you give them courage. I pray you give them boldness. I pray that they will not hide. They will not run. But they'll run to you, God, instead of away from you. As Peter ran to you, Jesus, when you finally reinstated him, after he denied you three times, Lord, I pray that these men would run to you. I pray that they would not do what Judas did when they ran away from you and ran and hid. But Lord, we'd be men who would be bold to go face Jesus and say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Go to your wives and go to your kids. Say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And watch the change happen. Father, I pray for courage and boldness over each one of these guys. And Lord, I pray for your peace to manifest in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. If you would like more information on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.